Now we're going to start 77A, Halacha Beis. Ma'apachos Yadayim, we're still talking about Shatnas. Ma'apachos Yadayim, we have hand towels, Mikvos HaSfarim, the mantle of the Sefer Torah, Mikvos HaSfag, bath towels, and what Mishum Klaim, there's no Klaim restriction on these items. Because you're not wearing these, you're using them, they're playing a function. And of course we said that Klaim is Mutma No. Rabbi Eliezer Iser, he also knows it's Oser, because if they contain Klaim, he's afraid you're going to end up using them to warm your hand. There's a classic case of Gemara Bar Dizara that talks about curtains, that if they're made out of shatnez, that the shamash might sometimes wrap himself in a curtain to warm himself up. So that might be a problem with Klaim. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Mitpachos HaSaparim Asuras Mishum Klaim. When it comes to the barber aprons that the barber puts over you to prevent the hair from getting on your clothing, even if that cape is made out of shatnez, it wouldn't be a problem because you're not wearing the garment for warming purposes to protect your body. You're just using it to prevent the hair from getting onto your clothing. There's three types of towels as far as tumah. Show you dying to me on medras. A hand towel is susceptible to tumas medras because tumas medras is when a zavar or zavar lean or sit or lie down on a baged or any kli for that matter. So they're tumah medras. So that has to be something. That's a very specific type of a kli, which is, let's see, bring it down over here. In footnote 12, this is the key. Only an object normally used for resting, such as a chair, bed, or mat, is susceptible to tumas medras. Okay? So, the hand towel is such a garment, and then I'll explain why. This is the main thing you have to understand, is what the chiluk is over here. Medras is that it is sometimes used I shouldn't say sometimes. Normally used for resting. So again, a chair, bed, or mat. Those are things that the Zav or Zava will sit on, lie on, so on. That's when it's Tumas Medras. So over here, Shal Yadayim, the hand towel, is that type of a baguette. Shal Svarim Tumei or Tumei Mace, when it comes to the mantle that this Torah scroll is stored in, that is susceptible to Tumas Mace, meaning, but not Tumas Medras, because no one's going to lay down on a Torah scroll cover. Shel tachrech nivlei b'nei levi tahor miklum. And when it comes to the types of towels that are used to wrap the special kalim, the flutes, let's say, of the levium, that's Torah completely, because that's not being meshamesh b'nei adam at all. That's being meshamesh Kalim, a Kali that's Mashamash, another Kali, is never going to be Tomei. As far as I know. So, that's Tahar Miklum. Okay? Rab Law, B'Shem Rabbi Yerchanam, Neshe, Hu Noisna Al Kesses, B'Yashin Alat. Now, the question is, why is there Medrash on the towel? So, Rab Law quotes Rabbi Yerchanam, who says, it's because you're going to put it. Sometimes you're going to place a hand towel on a cushion and sleep on it. So the hand towel will end up being something that you're lying on. Rav Amar, make sure noise no tachas atzila yodav. You're going to sometimes place a hand towel under your elbows and rest upon it. Okay, so it seems to be just a question of different examples, right? Let's see here. Yeah, so the two reasons here seem to be a little difficult, because Mishnah, he quotes the Mishnah Achrayna here in footnote 17, which is really a bomb question, that in order for Tumas Medras to be conveyed, it's when the Zav rests the majority of his weight on an item. He quotes Mishnah Zavim 5:5. It follows that an item is not susceptible to Tumas Medras unless it's designated for carrying the majority of one's weight. So how can a hand towel be susceptible to Tumas Medras? Because sometimes you're going to rest your elbows on it. How can Rabbi Yochanan say it's susceptible to Tumas Medras, on the basis that one sometimes drapes it over his pillow when he sleeps? That's not going to be that much weight. It's not the majority of his weight, right? So I'm not sure. I didn't look into it, but that's going to be a big problem. How to learn this Gemara. So we have these two shittas, either because Noisin al Kesses or Noisin Takas Atzila Yodov. Rav Omar, next question is, what's the story with these shatnas towels? Can you use them or not? Rav Omar Osir, you cannot use any towel that contains klayim, which is like a lozer. In our Mishnah, he argued on the Chacham, Halacha Kedrihi Oiser. And the Halacha is like the one who said it's Oiser, meaning like Rav Elazar. Now, why didn't he just say the Halacha is like Rav Elazar? The Gemara asked the question next. Lomar Rav Elazar. Just say the Halacha is like Rav Elazar, and that one will know what the din is. So the answer is, it's Tani Tani Mechla. So the problem is, he wanted to make it sure what he was saying, make sure that the Shita came across clearly. And therefore, he didn't want to just say halacha or blazer, because somebody might mix it up. Like this, it's very clear what he's saying. Halacha is that we're worried that you're going to use this cloth to warm your hands. Something to that effect. He would place klayim napkin on his clothes when he ate, because it's just like, I guess it's like the barber's thing. It's not there for actual warming or protecting. It's just there to guard him from getting dirty. Vayna also mishum klayim, but the napkin is draped over him, so why shouldn't it be also as layala? The Gemara says, the layinvulin minai, he wore the napkin only so that his clothes should not get soiled. Did not provide any benefit for his body, so therefore klayim is not applicable. Let's see. That may only be, according to some Rishonim, if you don't wear it. If it's a worn beged, then even though it's only being worn for protection, it would still be possibly be shaykh. It's footnote 21. If you want to look into that sugya a little bit more. Okay, now another question about napkin as far as klayim. I'm Rav Zvikan. Yovli Rav Avunua biasa big mappa this big klayim. They handed Rav Avunua a hot egg on a napkin that contained klayim. Ulo makamo, he would not accept it. Shalei yiskanda b'kham me'acham v'sham me'acham, because the reason why he was machmer, the Gemara gives the reason for the chumrah. Because the Mishnah said the garment sellers can sell klayim garments on their usual manner, modeling them for their customers, as long as they do not intend in the summer to protect themselves from the summer, and in the winter to protect themselves from the rains and the cold. If, however, they intend for the garments to protect them from the heat or the cold, then it would be osur. So, protection from heat is a form of benefit. So that explains why Rav Avunua didn't want to accept the risk, did not want to accept the hot egg and the klayim napkin, because he'd be using it to protect himself from the heat of the egg. Okay, so the Gemara is just saying, just like you see, you're not allowed to be mechavet. In the summer, you can wear klayim to protect yourself from the sun. So too, he did not want to accept the hot egg in the napkin. Because it was like it would be protecting him from the heat of the egg. It's a very interesting application. So it says over here in 24, a little bit of practical halacha over here. He says the Paiskim derive that one may not use a Kliyim pot holder to carry a hot pot because the Kliyim provides the benefit of protecting one's hand from burning. Yeah. Excuse me. So he says in the footnote, there's a little bit of an arichas here on 24, goes over to page 78A3. That's an interesting thing. That these problems are only if the begad is actually touching your body. If you had a begad of kliyim that was protecting you from the sun as by means of a canopy, that would not be osur. Canopy is mutter. Okay. Mitpachais hasfarim. Mantles for Torah scrolls are subject to corpse tumah. Reb Shmuel bar Nachman, b'shem Reb Yonasan, neishu oisa oisa b'kimin tik, m'siv b'chekoi. In order for something to be kabel tumah, it has to have a hishtamshus for ben adam. So that has to be, if it's just made just for a sefer Torah, nothing else, that would not be kabel tumah. A Torah mantle is susceptible to tumah because one sometimes makes it, folded it into a sort of pocket, and places it on his lap, nice and safe to roll out, and then you put safe to on top of that. So, not just gonna let this safe to cover just kind of like lie around. Okay. So, there were number base, 78B. I didn't have some base. So now you have a machlekes, Rabba, Rav Chiya bar Yosef b'shem Rav. Rabba's going to quote Rav, Neishu mechamin bar Yodav. That the reason why you can't, well, the reason why, let's put it this way, the reason why we're trying to, it's questionable what exactly we're trying to explain here. But let's learn it the way, the pashtus is what we're explaining, what we just finished saying. We're going back on the din of Mekabel Tumah. Why is it Mekabel Tumah? Tumas Mace. Teretz is because you're going to warm your hands with it. Okay? So one second. Let's go back this. So sometimes it's in your, let's see, so Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Rishem Rav Yonasan said he makes it into some kind of a shape so that, and then puts it on his lap, and that protects him, I guess. It says here in 27 that the mantle serves him. It cushions the scroll. It's considered a utensil that services a human, and therefore it's subject to corpse tumah. Okay, so Tumas Mace requires that it be a shtamshus for Adam. So the first shot is you're going to fold it and hold it and put it in your lap, and therefore it's servicing you. The second shot, which is Rabba, in the name of Rav, is because it's causing your hands to warm. In other words, you're carrying the Torah scroll, and it's going to warm your hands with the mantle. So it says in footnote 1 that Rabba rejects Rabbi Yonasan's reason. Why? Because he doesn't receive any physical benefit when he rests the mantle on his lap. That's not considered a utensil. Rabba states it's considered a utensil because sometimes when a person carries the mantle wrapped scroll, he warms his hand with the mantle, intentionally using it in the manner of a garment. Bottom line. Yeah. He quotes the Bavli of Adizara. I'm sorry, not Adizara, Beitza. You're down on the base. a curtain is susceptible to tumma, even though its function is just a wall, it's just a blocking your windows, because an attendant sometimes, a shamash, will sometimes wrap himself in the curtain to warm himself. And since that's happened, sometimes it's a shamash for a person. So that gives the status of a keli. Okay, so Rabbah feels his reason is a lot better than the previous reason. Okay, so we're dealing with two reasons. So what about the client problem? We said in the Mishnah that mitzvah svarim are not a problem of client. According to you, that you warm your hands in it, it should be a problem of client. Am I not quoting Rav? Don't you see it says Rabbah, Rav Chiya, Bar Yosef, B'shem Rav. And Rav said, Rav Amar Aser, V'halacha K'divrei Ha'oser. He said that it's Aser, meaning that it's Aser to use these different the Mitpachos and the Sefer of the Sefer Torah. You can't use any of those. Like, because he's passing like Reb Lazer. So it's really awesome to use the towels as client. So the Tanakhama permits the mantles, but Rav learned passes like Reb Lazer, and says they are subject to client. So that might be the reason why the mantles are subject to tumah, right? So it's subject to tumah because you warm your hands in it. And Als Klaim is concerned that it's going to be Taka Osir Als Klaim. That is to say, if it's something that you do, that you warm your hands. So Rabbah is basically saying that Rav is only coming out like Reb Lazer. Now, why did you say that? I'm Reb Yaina, Rabbah, Lam Lo Yamato, Mishum, Misak Lata. The Salakta. Why didn't you tell Rabbon that Rav means the Torah mantle is considered a utensil because one warms his hand with it when the Torah is removed? Right? The mantle is empty. One does not, however, warm his hands with the mantle while carrying the Torah. So, like this, what he's trying to ask him is like this. You could have been Masber this distinction in a different way. You could have said to rise to the level of Keli, all it has to do is sometimes be mishtamish for a person to use it for himself. So sometimes you may use it to warm your hands. So a male that has been like a Kli. But why do you have to go and say that it's also as Kliyim because you're passing like a blazer? Why don't you say that as far as that's concerned, you need more of a Kvios that you use it all the time or most of the time? But since over here you don't use it most of the time for that purpose, that's why it will not be subject to climate, and that's why the Chacham, it could come out even like the Chacham, this Hezbollah. Why do you have to go only like Rav? That's the question. The Tanakhama will hold that since one does not warm his hands while carrying the Torah in the mantle, which is normal usage, the mantle may be made of climate. Nevertheless, since people occasionally warm their hands in an empty mantle, so it's a utensil and susceptible to tumma. So he says, Ilo amat lei v'loi kach in asro b'haniya. He says, that's right, Pashut, because that wouldn't have made sense, because you can't say you're going to sometimes use the mantle to warm your hands, because once the mantle is designated for the Sefer Torah, it becomes asro b'hanoa. So you're not going to use it. Mahavali Merle, what would I have been able to say to him in such a question? That would have been a bomb question. So the Gemara says, let's see, he has a big English add-on at the top. I could not explain Rav as meaning the Torah mantle is considered a utensil and susceptible to Tumah because one warms his hand in it when it's empty, because Reb Yonah would have replied, the mantle is Kaddish. And therefore, you can't use it at all while it's empty. So that's not an explanation. So therefore, Rav means that one incidentally warms his hands in the mantle while carrying this scroll, which is a permitted use. It follows, according to Rav, a mantle may not be made of clay, since even using it for carrying the Torah scroll could involve a violation of clay. So I had to say to Rav Yonah that Rav indeed rules in accordance with Rav Lazar, who forbids the Torah mantles of clay. That's basic bottom line. That's why you want to understand why he passed in the way he did. Mitpachais HaSfog, as far as bath towels are concerned, sometimes you see the Rebbe and you're in the bathhouse and you don't want to be seen without clothing, so you wrap yourself in the towel, and therefore, again, you're going to be wearing it. It'll be protecting the person. Rabbi Avuhu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Bal Nari Noshim, Asurim b'shem Klayim, that the woman's Bal Norim, which was a certain type of a bathhouse towel that was used only by women. Obviously, it's made for women, so it's only used by women. But, if it's a bathhouse towel, don't men also need bathhouse towels? The answer is yes, they do, and that's the most next question. He bal nari noshim. Now we're on 79a. He bal nari noshim, he bal nari anoshim. Same thing, what's the difference? It says, ma'o bal nari noshim, v'nu dikeshen armen antitayo. This is antitayo, what's the difference? So he says in the bottom, they're special towels shaped like garments, actually worn in the bathhouse. Since the woman wore these items, they're forbidden to this klayim, even according to the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah. All right. Now, Mitpachais HaSaparim, what about the barber aprons? That's if you intended to use the apron for the sake of. I'm sorry, l'shem malbush. Sorry, I didn't see the word right. He wanted to use the apron for the sake of a garment. It means it has an opening for his head and can be worn like a garment. If it does not intend it for the sake of the garment, then there's no room for the thought that it is subject to klayim. Okay, so that's where we are up to. Halacha Gimel, the fine testament Aleph. Wish everybody a good night.